Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Getting you set for Sunday's battle between Kansas City and San Francisco. Presented by Holy Smokes Barbecue. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
Well, I really don't know if we could do better in terms of a Super Bowl preview than talk to Mike Shanahan. And we are so lucky and happy that Coach Shanahan joins us right now. Coach, it's D-Mac. I'm here with your tallest other son, Tyler Columbus. And welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
I'm here.
Coach, I was saying congratulations on everything, and thank you for joining us. And I know you just got down to Miami yesterday. What's it been like over the past, 24 hours or so?
No, it's been fun. You know, the family comes, everybody comes in, usually family and guests, and try to get all night before the game. And so the team's been here since Sunday. So, you know, they've been through their practices and their preparation and the media and all the things that go with it. But they're excited. They're ready to play.
Coach, first off, thanks for jumping on. Always love chatting with you. Miss you, man. You know, as you're watching this week unfold with Kyle, what's just kind of going through your mind? I mean, just kind of as a dad, as a coach, all those things. This is a different experience.
You know, Tyler, what I'm able to do, which makes it fun for me, I can watch their practices, I can watch their meetings, and so even though you're not a part of it, you feel like you are because you get to see the game plan from both sides of the football, and so it's really enjoyable for me to even come out here and have an idea what's going on, you know, with the game plan on both sides of the ball, so it's fun to watch.
How does it feel as, just as a dad? We'll talk football for sure, but just as a dad, and certainly right. Kyle has had prominent positions, but your son is the head coach of a Super Bowl team. How does that feel?
You know, it feels great, but I think what you really appreciate as a dad, especially knowing what goes on and the work that's involved, is kind of like the journey that you have to go through in the coaching profession. You know, Kyle started, at UCLA for a year, and then he went into the NFL. But the journey, how many moves you have to make, how many situations that you're in, and be able to make it to those situations and finally get the position coach and the coordinator's job. Then you get the opportunity to be head coach. And then you're able to put a football team together that you feel like you have at least a feeling on it, how to do it, because you've been in a number of situations like Houston. What were they, 2-14? Then you got Washington, there's 6 wins, and you got Cleveland, that's 4 wins. So you've kind of been there. You've seen teams grow and get better as years go on. So I think as a parent, it's fun to see your son go through all those tough situations and finally be in the Super Bowl.
Coach, you know, you brought me into the league as a rookie with the Broncos, and our offense, our running game, it felt a little bit more traditional to the way you were running it back in the 90s. And then you bring me out to Washington with the Redskins, and Kyle's now the coordinator. And the running game felt different. Everything was wider. We were doing things a little bit, it's like a gap and a half further. We were stretching things further. How did Kyle in particular kind of reshape and just kind of reinvent your offense?
Well, Tyler, I think what you do as a coach, you're always trying to grow. So every year you take a look at what you're doing. If it's the outside zone, inside zone, if it's power, if it's gap, you say, what can we do to improve it? Because people catch up. If you stand still, you get caught, you get caught pretty quickly. I think that's what our coaches did a great job of every offseason, saying, hey, what can we do technique-wise? What can we do scheme-wise to change things? Well, we got better angles. We have a better chance to maybe stretch the defense, get them to run a little bit more. So those are the type of things that you have to do every year. I don't care what team you're on. If not, teams will catch you pretty quick.
You know, last year the 49ers were selected number 2 overall. And here we are. We're now in the Super Bowl, 1 year removed. What do you think has been the most important part of the process that has allowed such a radical improvement in 1 year's time?
Well, I think, first of all, they admitted that they weren't a very good football team. They knew, or Kyle knew coming in, that their personnel wasn't close. So you got to be tough on yourself. And I think the thing I'm most proud with Kyle is going through an 0-9 season and finishing the up winning 5 out of 6 games. and finding a way to improve as a football team, and check the character of the guys that you want back in your football team. Who do you got to release? Mm-hmm. Who played hard through the tough times? You know, who kind of gave up when they were 0-9? And you're kind of getting your team ready for the next year. Like you said, when you're picking second in the draft, what are you going to do in free agency? What are the guys that you want on your football team that give you a chance to win in that second or third year? Obviously, the second year, with Jimmy going down early, it still told a lot about who are the guys that really wanted to work hard in the off season or at the end of the season. So you get a chance to check your character, your football team as well.
Is it a big deal? Well, I'm sure it is, but maybe you can talk to at least the security that John Lynch and Kyle are clearly in this together, meaning they have at least the freedom to make and learn from their mistakes to move forward, and what kind of difference that has made.
Well, to be honest with you, there is no security in the National Football League.
Oh, really? You think, hold on. You think Kyle or John have been sweating things out? I mean, they did go 4-12. Were there any dicey moments there?
Well, what I'm talking about is that there is no security. I don't care if you got 6 years on your contract. If you get fired after your third year, and what it is, you're disappointed on where you're at. And you want to build it the right way, and especially when they get rid of three head coaches in 3 years. And there is some good financial security, but still, your security comes from within. And he thought they were going to have a pretty good football team this year going in. Luckily, they stayed fairly healthy, but they still lost some people at key times, and they fought through it. And so that's what I think you got to have. You got to have vision on what you want. You got to be able to go out and get that personnel that you think gives you the best chance to win. And I think that's what, you know, John Lynch and Kyle were able to do.
You know, I know you get asked this all the time, but I'm watching you during these games. They've got the camera on you. Yeah. You're up there in the booth. And just for me personally, I'm having flashbacks to my entire career playing for you. I mean, I'm personally getting the itch, feeling like I want to see you out there. Do you get the itch at all throughout all this?
You know, I really don't. You know, it's been fun for me to be able to, you know, watch Kyle and be a part of it. I feel like I still am coaching, even though I'm not. And so I understand the workload that goes into it and how tough it is, how hard it is. And if you're not willing to put that time in, then I think it's time to leave the game. I was ready to come in a few years back, but when that didn't happen, I said, hey, I'm not going to go to get a job just to get paid some money and, you know, work for a couple of years. I want to make sure if I did go back in, I had a chance to win a Super Bowl. And none of those situations really presented itself.
Coach Mike Shanahan is our guest. Do you think if Kyle was hired here with the Broncos all those years ago when he was up for the job, the Broncos would be in the same position as the 49ers right now?
I mean, that's an impossible question to answer. The only thing that you do is you take a look at the situation. When you do get an opportunity like he did get hired by the 49ers, he knew he had a chance to do things the right way. And, you know, he started from the top, from the ownership. Jed gave Kyle and John the chance to go out there and put their football team together. The guys they wanted that thought fit their system, fit their scheme, and never wavered. And, you know, sometimes people will waver, especially when you go 0-9 or you have 4 wins the next year. They never changed. They said, hey, we believe in you. We'll give you a chance to do it. Very similar to what Pat Bowlen did for me. He gave me a chance to do everything that I wanted to do when I got the job, and I couldn't thank a person more than Pat for giving me that opportunity to do that, and that's what Jed has done for Kyle and John.
Well, Coach, you're opening the door here. I got to walk through it. If you're saying that and how great it was with Mr. B, if we look at our situation here in Denver, do you believe that the team's success would be better if it stayed in the Bowlen family, or perhaps they did start again with a different set of ownership eyes?
You know, unless you're really there and you understand what's going on, it's really hard to say that one way or the other, because I'm not involved with that on a daily basis. In fact, I'm not even close to it anymore.
Right.
You spend all your time with the San Francisco situation and really haven't had a chance to really study it. But I know how special Pat was, and for him to get in the Hall of Fame was, I mean, he deserved it because he gave you every chance to be successful, and I really appreciated him for that.
Coach, what do you think about Drew Lock?
I like him. I liked him when he was at Missouri. I really thought he could make some plays on his own. You know, he was in a shotgun formation and had many snaps, if any, from underneath the center. But you could see he didn't have the same personnel as other teams did. in the same conference, but he would make plays. You could see his arm strength that he had. You could see that he could make plays when maybe everything broke down with his legs. And there's not many guys, especially playing in the SEC, that can make those type of plays when you don't have a great supporting cast, but he did. So I was really impressed with him.
Coach, I go back to the 2012 season that we had back in Washington. And in my mind, I think that is one of the most under-respected and underappreciated coaching jobs that you had throughout your entire career. The way that you reinvented everything offensively for Robert, and you brought in the zone read. I remember watching the Baylor film and the offseason, all these things. And I basically, where I'm headed here, with Drew Lock, if you were coaching Drew Lock, how would you design an offense around him?
Well, you know, you'd have to be around Drew for me to really tell you. But I think when you mentioned the 2012 season, I agree with you 100%. You know, we had some young, great coaches that could see the talent Robert Griffin had and said, hey, we've got to change our system. We've got to do some things that he can do and do well, because he had never been underneath the center and ran a crazy type of offense in college. We had run some of those same principles, and, you know, the rest was very clear how much, you know, what success that Robert had. I think it's the same for Drew, that, you know, the coordinator and the head coach and the quarterback coach are going to take a look and get a good feel of what they think he can do best and take that offense and find people that can run the type of system that best fits him and give him the system that really fits his talents.
All right, cool. We're talking some X's and O's, which is awesome. I'm thinking about the impact that Emmanuel Sanders had on the 49ers. You know, Mike, his production and targets with the Niners really isn't all that different than what was happening with the Broncos. So I guess I'd just ask your opinion, your expertise, in terms of why a player in a certain role works one place when it just wasn't working somewhere else. What do you think that's all about?
Well, first of all, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, you know, when the offensive coordinator is going to come in and take a look at the system. So all of a sudden at the end of the year, he's gone. And so now you're going to take a look at, you know, some new personnel, new people, and you're going to have to make some changes or at least, you know, some decisions on who your starters are going to be, who your backups are going to be, and whatever system they do decide, you're going to have to give them some time to see if it's successful.
What's going to be the key?
I lost you there for a second. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's all right. We're listening.
Yeah, we're just listening, Coach. What's okay. Going to be the key this weekend?
Oh, I think it's like every game. You know, you can't turn the football over, and you know you're going to have to get some pass rush on the home because you know how talented he is and what he can do when he breaks out of the pocket. But you're going to have to play some very sound defense and be able to put some pressure on the quarterback and something that you feel comfortable with. You know, have to play some zone, some matchup zone. You have to play a little bit of man, but you're going to have to change things up. But you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to get a couple turnovers here and there with a guy like that because he's going to take some chances. And on the other side of the ball, you're really not sure how Specs plays you defensively because he runs a lot of different type of defenses. You know, he'll get eight-man fronts with safety in the middle of the field, all different type of zone dogs, play some two deep soft. You know, he'll bring a lot of max blitzes as well. So you're going to have to adjust in the game with a guy like that. And you figure out your game plan as the game goes on, going against their defense as well.
You know, the one thing that the Broncos and really every team in the NFL can't quite figure out when they play the Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes. But on top of that, how the heck do you cover Travis Kelce? How do you scheme up a way to stop him?
Mm. Well, I guess it's like a track team, Olympic track team, when you take a look at their skill positions. And then you take a look at Kelce, and you've got a great basketball player there that can move around as well as anybody. And you're right. They've got a lot of talent. They play well, and that's why those teams are here right now, two of the best teams in football. Now you got to play your best game.
All right. It's Friday night, two nights before the Super Bowl. You've been there, obviously. What advice would you, and Kyle's been there too, actually. But as the head coach, what do you need to be doing to focus your team? Where's your head at this on this night?
Number one, once you come here, once you come to the Super Bowl, in my opinion, you have to have your game plan in. And you got 90, 95% in. And all you're going to do is tweak a few things when you get here. You're going to decide on maybe some plays you want, some plays you don't want. You're hoping that the concentration level is there at every practice. And now you get into today, you're just doing the final touches with a little walkthrough tomorrow where you go to the stadium. But all the work is done. If you're feeling good about the team, the chances are you'll probably play well. If you're not feeling very good with the way you practice during the week, the chances are it'll carry over to game day. And that's from my experience with the times that I've been involved with the Super Bowl. You usually got a good feel on how your team's going to react before you even play the game.
So by that, I guess you should stay relatively loose then, right? I mean, either you've done the right work to this moment or you haven't. I guess if you...
Well, I think you're 100% right. It's because, you know, it's the way you practice every day. You know, if these guys practice at a certain level every day, and I think that's what the 49ers have done. They've got to.
Yeah.
The only way you win games like that is you've got to practice that when you take it over to game day. You know, if you're inconsistent there and you don't have a sense of urgency and guys are not all on the same page, you know, chances are you're not going to win the big one. You might get there, but it's hard to win those playoff games unless you're really playing together.
You know, Coach, what impressed me, and you were at training camp when the 49ers were there. The 49ers defense at that joint practice with the Broncos, I tell you what, Coach, they were wound up, I mean, in a positive way, right from the jump. It was obvious that there had been a sense of how we do things here that translated, and it caught the Broncos by surprise. Vic Fangio has talked about how he, you know, had to have a talking to the team after that first practice, and then Broncos responded better the second day. But to your point, there is a culture there that Kyle has established. How was he able to do that? And did you notice those same things even back in training camp?
Well, first of all, going in your third year, you know, you're hoping that you have changed the culture. You've got new players. The players that you got around there for 2 years, you've watched practice every day, and you've kept them to the third year because you believe in them. And so, no, that didn't surprise me at all. The only thing you don't know is how your free agents are going to do and how your draft choices are going to do. Sure, you make those tough decisions on who to bring in. You're going to try to, you know, increase your speed on the ball defensively and offensively. But you don't know how a guy like Bosa is going to play or a guy like D. Ford is going to play until you actually get him out on the football field. And it doesn't take long to figure out that Bosa is going to be somebody very special. And you just had to watch him for a week and you say, holy cow, this guy's got a sense of urgency about him that most people don't have. But a lot of different positions, you're waiting for guys to compete on a day-to-day basis so you can make this decision on who your top 45, 46 guys are going to be or your top 53 on your football team and who's going to make your final roster. And that's part of going through the process of being around guys for a couple of years.
You know, I've noticed with Kyle, and I think this is true with just about every coach, but familiarity is a huge thing. And I see all the familiar names of guys that you had even back in Washington, certainly guys that I played with in Atlanta with Kyle. And continuity is such an important thing, something that the Broncos have not necessarily had here of late. How challenging is it as a head coach to, you know, create stability when you've got change on any side of the ball, but particularly for the Broncos offensively?
Well, I can't speak for the Broncos because, you know, I'm not there.
Sure.
And I haven't been around the personnel decision, but I can speak for, you know, the 49ers that when they do bring a couple of guys in from Atlanta or they bring somebody in from Cleveland, that one of the coaches have been with or one of the assistant coaches, and they know their personalities and know what role they would have in your football team. And the head coach and the coordinator feel very good about him. You know, then you try to bring these guys in, and all of a sudden you do have a little bit more depth. Because all of a sudden, when the 49ers had to play with the fourth or fifth tackle on their team, when the first three went down, a lot of times teams will collapse. They won't. Their running game will go, you know, south, or their pass protection will go south. And so you do have to have some depth, and you have to have some confidence in your people that are picking up the players and your kind of recommendation of some of your assistant coaches as well.
Coach Mike Shanahan, what are the plans for tonight? What are we doing? What's the family doing? Will you see Kyle?
I'm not sure if I'll see Kyle. I might see him here in about an hour and a half or so. We got a little family dinner for all the 49ers, and that goes for about two and a half hours. That's just about over now. And then they'll kind of relax and kind of get ready for their walk for tomorrow. Players will be off the rest of the night. And they've had a good week of practice. So
what are your... I feel like I should be out there.
Really?
I feel like I need to be a part of this right now.
last one.
I'm looking forward to it, that's for sure.
Last one for me. Maybe a couple words from you about Steve Atwater, who has to go through this process for the Hall of Fame. And well, what are your thoughts about the process and Steve?
Well, I think the world of Steve Atwater. He's always been one of my favorite players, and not just as a football player, just how he handles himself as a human being. I mean, he's a class act all the way. And so when people ask me, do I think Steve Atwater should be in the Hall of Fame, I'm going, you got to be kidding. Absolutely.
Right, right.
There is no question about it. And I tell you one thing, I feel the same way about John Lynch, even though I was with John only 4 years.
Right.
How he handled himself when he was with us, the Broncos, you know, 4 years, four Pro Bowls, and also when he ended the football team, what a leader, and you know, what a resume as well. So when you talk about these Hall of Fame, first of all, it's so hard to get in, but you're always rooting for the person that has been part of your organization or part of your team, and you're just keeping your fingers crossed that they get the call.
Coach, you certainly know this, but holy cow, do the Shanahans mean a lot to me. I mean, holy cow, do the Shanahans mean a lot. I can't wait to watch this
game. You mean a whole hell of a lot to me, too, because you're a hell of a football player. More important, you are even a better person and a better teammate than you get people like you, and you got a chance to win.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, Coach. I mean, just enjoy the moment. As a dad, this has got to be incredible. You know, if you get a chance, please tell Kyle just how fun this is to watch it. This is an incredible deal for all of us. And trust me, all of Denver's pulling for the 49ers right now.
No doubt.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks, D-Mac.
Hey.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Coach. We'll see you on the patio out at your restaurant sometime.
Yes. See you, Coach.
Thanks, Mike. All right. Mike Shanahan. Oof, I got chills there.
Me too, man.
Oof.
Me too.
Oh, I'm going to really feel bad picking the Chiefs. All right.
Gosh, you're dirty. You're just a bad person.
There's so much to react to. So much to react to. And, boy, I think we picked up on the same thing. I wrote it down, and you talk about it next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.